Well, good morning. It's my joy to be here. Earlier, missionaries were sharing their connection with Indian River Baptist Church, and some were sharing they have a 25 connection. Phil shared that he has a 50-year connection. Well, my wife and I have about a 30-year connection with this church, and in a variety of ways. One of my seminary professors was Bob Rapay, and he greatly impacted my life in ministry in seminary training. I went to seminary with Jeff Halstead. I could tell you some stories there. You could probably tell me some stories too. So, and my wife used to babysit Michelle Wilt. So, when she was a little girl, and so we've got just great and deep connections with the church. So it's our joy to be here and to be a part of what God is doing here in Northern Michigan, and really to spur you on. My wife and I, we are not missionaries. We have the great privilege to serve missionaries and to serve the local church as she sends out missionaries. And we have given our life to serve those missionaries and to serve the local church as she sends out missions. So I have simply one goal this morning, to spur you on in missions. And I hope that you leave here this morning with some very practical ways that you can engage in the Great Commission. We say this all the time. Everyone has a role in the Great Commission. Last week, my wife and I, we were in Brazil. I'm preaching here at Indian River. Last week, I was preaching at a church in southern Brazil that didn't exist a year ago. And there were about 40 people there gathered, worshiping, Brazilians. They were worshiping in Portuguese, so I didn't understand a word they were saying. But they were energetic about it, I can tell you that. We Baptists up here can learn a little bit on how to do Brazilian worship, I'll tell you. And I had the chance to bring the Word of God to a group of people that didn't exist a year ago in a community that didn't have a church a year ago. And there's a church today because churches like Indian River Baptist Church send missionaries. So thank you for being a part of the Great Commission. 5 years ago, we started the Open Initiative that Jeff talked about. It was our desire, could we catalyze, could we spur on local churches and individuals to go to difficult places? Could we, if we put an effort into it, and we started with prayer. We thought, if we just began praying about it, would God move? And if you saw the slide that Jeff had, one of the places we had there was Tokyo. And you may be surprised to think of Tokyo as an unreached place, an unreached people group. It's 99% unreached. Missionaries have been going to Japan since the 1500s. It's a very difficult culture to reach. As a matter of fact, 5 years ago, until we started praying for the Open Initiative and Tokyo in specific, ABWE hadn't sent a new missionary to Japan in a decade. It's been called the missionary graveyard. So we began praying. We didn't know what else to do. Jeff was on the leadership team, and I had tasked the leadership team with, well, come up with a strategy. And the first thing, well, let's start praying first and foremost. And the 938 initiative was birthed out of that. Just to pray earnestly, the Lord of the harvest, to send laborers into the field. We'll work at it, Lord, but we need you to work. Right now, 5 years later, there are 11 new missionaries in Japan focusing on the Tokyo region. And within 5 years, we hadn't sent a new missionary in a decade. And within 5 years, we have 11 missionaries on the field. Now, that's a huge answer to prayer. But the thing that excites me is we've got another 11 on pre-field. And that's what Jesuits are a part of. They're actually a part of a second wave of missionaries that are going to this region. And we're going to see what God can do. And God continues to bring new missionaries that he's sending. So I would encourage you, as you pray for us, pray earnestly the Lord of the harvest that God would continue to bring partners and ministry partners and new missionaries with different skills to work with. And can I just say this? Thank you for being a part of what God is doing. Thank you for supporting them. I just saw on the board, I didn't know this, I just saw on the board that they're at 100% support and looks like they're ready to go. That's good news. I see my role this morning as bringing the Word of God to bear on what we could do missionally. And so I'd like you to turn to the book of Philippians. Turn to the book of Philippians with me. When I preach in churches, I usually try to persuade those that God has gifted in missions to take their first steps. I just want you to, like, just let me just level set and just come clean with you. That is my desire. That's what I believe God has gifted me to do. I look for people. This morning as you were walking in, I was looking at you and I'm just like, who is God gifted for ministry? Who here is just, it's an untapped resource and God has been working on you? I remember growing up, every single time I heard a mission speaker, God did this on my heart. And I didn't know what God was going to do. I didn't know if God was going to call me into ministry. I never thought that I would become the president of a mission agency. I don't even know what the career path for that is. But all I remember is every time a mission speaker got up, I felt this. So I got to tell you, every time I get up to preach, I'm looking for that person. Because there's somebody here that every time a mission speaker has gotten up, they thought, man, I could go there. I could do that. I could use my gifts somewhere. I'd like to. I don't know what the first steps are. So usually when I preach, I go there. I'm going to do something different this morning. Because usually I dive into a passage like John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so I send who? Who? You? Yeah, okay. That's a good verse. It'll preach. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my what class? Witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole what? Creation or world. Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. These are the passages I typically go to, and just reading them makes me want to preach them right now. I think we all understand that command, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. That's Jesus saying to his disciples, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you into the world. When we received the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, he also said we have the Holy Spirit in order to send us to the uttermost parts of the earth or to everywhere on the earth. It's every one of these calls to proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation, to make disciples of all nations. All of these commands are for the local church, for disciples within the local church to take the gospel. And can I just say this? The application to these verses are not take the gospel across the street to your neighbor. Now, should you take the gospel across the street to your neighbor? Yes. But that's not the application of these verses, because every one of these verses says that you're supposed to take the gospel to all of creation, to the ends of the earth, to every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue. That's the application here. So as we preach these verses, let's be careful not to cut the gospel short here. Because God is calling Indian River Baptist Church to have an impact on the whole world, not just Indian River. Now, please don't miss Indian River. You're uniquely gifted to reach Indian River. But you've also been uniquely gifted to obey Jesus' command to make disciples of all nations. That's usually where I go. It's not my message today. That was free. I want to talk about the book of Philippians because I want to speak to those whom God is sending, not to those whom God is sending, but to those God is calling to send and support those who are sent. I wanted to give you what I said because I do want the Holy Spirit to have an opportunity to do this morning. But I want to talk to the rest of us this morning. In Acts chapter 13, when the Holy Spirit called out the first two missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, from the church in Antioch, the way that it happened is the entire church was gathered together, they were praying, they were fasting, and they were praying, and in the midst of that prayer service, the Holy Spirit separated out Paul and Barnabas. And the church laid hands on Paul and Barnabas and sent them out to be the very first missionaries. But let me tell you something about what happened there. Only two people were sent, but the entire church obeyed the Great Commission that day. And that's important for us to see, because sometimes I think we've got this idea of the Great Commission and our role in the Great Commission. God's not sending me to be a sent missionary, so somehow my role in the Great Commission is a lesser role. It's not. And the purpose of my message this morning is for you to see that your role in the Great Commission is just as critical as if you're not a sent missionary as our sent missionaries are. Different, but just as critical. So Philippians, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4. We are going to get to the passage, by the way. And I want to read to you a passage, and then I want to walk through this passage for just a little bit. In the book of Philippians, by the way, I know pastors aren't supposed to have favorites and missionaries aren't supposed to have favorite churches, but one could make the case that the Philippian church was the Apostle Paul's favorite church for a couple reasons. I think you've been studying through the book of Acts, and when Paul went to Philippi, he actually, the first convert that we know of in all of Europe was Lydia, who was in Philippi. And you remember there was a young girl in Philippi that Paul cast out a demon from her, started a riot. And so there's all this happening. Paul and Barnabas are thrown in jail. And, you remember this. Have you done that story yet, Pastor Matt? Okay. So you know the story. They're singing hymns. And then earthquake comes. And they can escape. And they think that they're going to escape. But the jailer thinks they're going to escape, but the jailer gets saved, and the church begins through this first female convert in Europe that we know of, Lydia, and a jailer. And from there, this church is born. And if you want to make a case for Paul thinking the Philippians are, not the Philippines, that's a different church, the Philippians, look at verse 3 in chapter 1. When Paul's writing to them, he opens up the letter, he says this, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. If you wrote that sentence for an English class, you'd get marked down heavily. There's four superlatives there. He's like, in all of my remembrance, always in every prayer of mine. Paul's telling the Philippians, like, you guys don't understand this. Whenever I think of you as a church, whenever you come to my mind in prayer, I pray for you always, and every time I'm thanking God for you. And what was he thankful for? Verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, that word partnership is what I want to capture. There's a Greek word here that's translated partnership here that shows up in the book of Philippians multiple times. And you've probably heard of the word before. It's koinonia. Have you heard of that word before, koinonia? It's often translated partnership. It can be translated fellowship. There's a lot of places that it's used. Let me give you a couple places where the word is used, this word koinonia. It can be translated partnership, fellowship, participation. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says this, and the disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. That word fellowship there, that's the word koinonia. It's used for in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it's used negatively. Listen to how the word koinonia is used here. It says this, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship, what koinonia, what kind of koinonia does light have with darkness? In Hebrews 13, 16, the ESV translates koinonia as share. It says this, do not neglect to do good and to share and to koinonia what you have, for such a sacrifice pleases God. The writer of Hebrews is telling the church there, listen, koinonia together. As a church, you should koinonia, share, participate, partner together in one another's needs. In Romans 15, 26, listen to how the word is translated here. It's used to describe a monetary donation. It says this, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor, some koinonia for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Why do I go through all these verses? Because this is an important biblical word that I want us to gather and catch this morning. Koinonia describes everything from sharing a meal together to sharing resources and finances. But koinonia is more than just sharing. The word carries a conviction that we must do it together, that it has to happen together, that we are to fellowship together, we are to spend time together, we are to participate together. And we see one of the ways that, one of the reasons why I think Paul fell in love with this Philippian church in Philippians chapter 4. And you won't be surprised to know that this word koinonia shows up multiple times in Philippians chapter 4. Let me read it to you. And I want you to put your finger, I'm going to have you put your finger on a couple places or circle a couple places here, but it says this, yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. Paul talks, he's telling the Philippians church, it was kind of you to share in my trouble. That word share there, guess what word that is? Koinonia. It was kind of you to koinonia in my troubles. When Paul had difficulties on the mission field, there was one church that said, we've got to be with you in your troubles. We've got to fellowship together with you. We've got to participate in your troubles. We can't let you go through your troubles alone. We've got to participate with you in that. We've got to share with you in your troubles. Verse 15. He said, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no other church or no church entered into partnership, koinonia. No other church koinoniaed with me in giving and receiving except you only. So something, when Paul was in trouble, the Philippian church came alongside Paul when no other church would. There were no other churches participating, no other churches koinoniaing, no other churches sharing in the need that Paul had except for this Philippian church, except for, look at the end of verse 15, except for you only. Man, I'm not a missionary, but I can tell you, how do missionaries fall in love with churches? When churches share in their trouble, especially when they're the only church that sees it. We see the need. We want to come alongside the need. We want a partnership with the need. Verse 16 said, even in Thessalonica, you sent help to me for my needs once and again. It didn't happen just one time. The Philippian church just didn't give one gift and say, hey, we're going to take an offering and we're done with you. We got other missionaries to take care of. No, this church was participating in Paul's trouble. And they didn't just do it once. They did it once and time and again. Verse 17, and Paul says, not that I seek the gift, I'm not out trying to get gifts, but I seek fruit that increases to your credit. He's telling the Philippians, he said, like, look, I'm not a gift seeker. I'm not out here, my whole purpose out here is for the sake of the gospel. I had needs, I had real needs, I had troubles. And you know what? You saw my troubles, you saw my needs, and you met my needs once and again, multiple times you met my needs. Not that I was out to get your stuff. What I really wanted was fruit credited to your account. Verse 18, he says, I have received full payment and more. In other words, you met my needs. I've had my needs met. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. Why is he well supplied? Because of the Philippians. They sent gifts through Epaphroditus. Met all of Paul's needs. But then he calls these gifts something interesting here. He says, I received the gifts that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to my God, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory. Church's gifts became this pleasing aroma to the Lord. Every single person, young or old, within the church has the opportunity to partner with missionaries. Again, oftentimes speakers like I will get up and we'll try to get missionaries, and we forget that the entire congregation in Acts chapter 13 was involved in the Great Commission and had a role. And that role that Acts chapter 13, that church in Antioch played in Paul and Barnabas' role, was not just to pray for them and lay hands on them, but it was to meet their needs and to send them out. And this church in Philippi came alongside Paul, who was sent by another church. Interesting. Sent by another church, and they came by and they saw his needs, and they met his needs multiple times. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, you've supplied all of my needs. Not that I just wanted gifts, but I wanted fruit credited to your account that would become a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. I want to share with you just four things. There's four blessings that come when you seriously partner with a missionary. And I'm talking about partnership as a local church, because there's things that your entire church can do to partner in the Great Commission, but there are things that you as an individual can do. So please don't do this morning. Please don't sit there and think, this is good stuff. I'm glad the missions committee's hearing. Or this is good stuff. I hope Pastor Matt puts together a program to deliver this. You can build a personal relationship with your missionaries as you and a church build personal relationships with your missionaries. And when you do, there are some unique blessings. And let's just take a closer look at those blessings. The first one shows up in verse 16, chapter 4, verse 16. When we're told, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Here's the first blessing of partnership or koinonia. When you get serious about saying, I want to participate in the Great Commission. What God is doing across the world, I want a part of it. The very first thing that happens, the very first blessing is that you meet the physical needs of those gifted to go. God's not going to call every single person in this church. He might call one or two like he did in the church in Antioch. But when he does, when you participate in the gospel with them, you have the opportunity to meet their real physical needs. Listen, your missionaries cannot go into all the world without help. They need believers to come alongside of them and meet their physical needs. And let's just be real. I'm talking financial needs. I'm talking spiritual encouragement needs. I'm talking about transportation needs. I'm talking, there are multiple ways that you can meet their needs. Every individual missionary who's having an impact for the gospel of Jesus Christ has unique needs. Explore what those needs are. And you have the opportunity to meet those needs. I've got just a little personal story. When there was a key time in my wife and I's ministry where we were making some decisions. My wife was working full-time. I was in full-time ministry. Our income was a ministry income. Let me just say that. Just that should tell you that it would be a sacrifice for my wife to stop working. And we were making that decision. And as we were making that decision, one night we were at the dinner table praying and thinking about it, and we just said, you know what, we're just going to make this decision. We're going to devote ourselves full-time to ministry, and Martha will quit her job. And we made that decision. We're just like, we don't know how it's going to happen. The math doesn't work, but we're going to do that. Decided to walk out to the mailbox. You know what's happened. You know what's coming. I don't even have to finish the story. I walked out to the mailbox, the end, right? I walked out to the mailbox, and there was a letter from a man I hadn't talked to since I was a teenager, who had been a part of my church growing up, who knew that we had gone into ministry, and decided to send us a little check for $300. Not life-changing money in the amount, but life-changing money that came the day we made a key decision. That was that man participating in our ministry. And we're in ministry, that happened 30 years ago. We're in ministry today, trusting in God to meet our needs, knowing from that lesson. And every missionary can tell you stories like that, where God put it on someone's heart to participate in the Great Commission through meeting the needs of another individual. So that's the first blessing. Koinonia is a special relationship that meets the physical needs for gifted people to go. Here's the second one. It's in verse 17. Verse 17 says this, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. The second blessing is that koinonia bears fruit spiritually in those gifted to give. Koinonia bears fruit for those gifted to give. This is what we can't forget. When a missionary goes and he comes back, when Jeff tells a story of his leadership, and Jeff was so humble in his sharing, the things that Jeff has to bear leadership-wise are very heavy. We have a missionary leadership, and we have missionaries, and then we have team leaders, and then we have regional directors, and then we have Jeff. All of the easy problems get solved down here. Where do the difficult problems go? To Jeff. And he's a significant leader. And when you come alongside and participate with Jeff and Jody in the ministry, you're participating in the fruit of their leadership. And the things that they're accomplishing are credited to your account. And I don't know how that math works. Okay, I'd love to tell you it's one debit and one credit or like that. I don't know. But I do know this, is one day you will stand before the Lord, and if you have participated in Jeff and Jody or Phil and Helen's, if you've participated in their ministry, fruit that they have bore because they were able to do that ministry will be credited to your account. I don't know how it works, but I believe it because it's in God's word. And the Apostle Paul said, listen, better than the gifts are those fruits credited to your account. That's the second blessing. Here's the third blessing. It shows up in verse 18. And I want you to catch this because I think it's beautiful. I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus your gifts that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Now here's what I don't get, but I think is so cool. So a missionary has needs. You spot those needs. You come alongside of them and participate in their needs. And fruit is credited to your account. But this whole transaction somehow creates a sweet-smelling savor that's pleasing to the Lord. This whole interaction, listen, this whole entire missions conference, because you are meeting the needs of your missionaries, because you're using this time to garner together what you can do as a local body of believers to send gospel workers out to the nations, because you're doing that, the whole transaction, everything that happens is a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. We can't see it. I wish we could see the spiritual side of what's happening. We look at things and what are we doing? We're taking an offering. Taking another offering. Pass the plate. We're doing way more than taking an offering. We're creating an aroma that pleases the Lord. We're creating a gift that will meet the needs of a missionary. We're creating a gift that will be credited to our account so that when we stand before Jesus, we won't be empty-handed, but there will be fruit in our account because we participated in the gospel together. That's good stuff. That's better than just coming to church. That's even better than an international dinner after church, although we're getting close, so it'll be good. It'll be good. It's a sweet-smelling savor. Here's the last blessing I want to leave with you. It's a special relationship that meets the physical needs of those that are going. It's a special relationship that bears fruit spiritually in those that are giving. It's a special relationship that creates a fragrant offering. And here's the last one, verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory. Here's the last thing that we need to know about this. This koinonia is a special relationship that's supernaturally supplied by God. Here's what you have to understand. When you participate and give and meet the needs of a missionary, that which you are using to participate has been supplied by God. So let's do the math, okay? God supplies all your needs, from your met needs, you meet needs of a missionary. That missionary has met needs. He is able to fulfill his gospel call and take the gospel to the nations. And this whole transaction creates a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord that pleases the Lord. So that here's what happens. God gets the glory because he started it all, he ended it all, and it's all about his glory and the sweet-smelling savor, and we got to participate in all of it. Why God chooses to use his people to reach the lost, I'll never understand. But somehow it's this beautiful, savory participation with one another that pleases our God. My goal this morning wasn't to recruit you as a missionary. Matt, if you have me back, I'd like to do that message too. My goal here this morning is that you would somehow catch the beauty of this. This isn't just missions. This isn't just church. This is a beautiful participation, fellowship, sharing in what God wants to do for the nations. We know that every kindred, tribe, nation, and tongue will be gathered around the throne. So we know it's going to be successful. The question is, will we have participated in it? Will we have been a part of it? Will we have been a part of this aroma that's wafting up to the Lord? And as the Lord smells it, he looks down and he says, well done, a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'm going to make you rulers over much. I don't know about you, but I want to hear that one day. But today, I'm going to participate in missions. Father, I'm grateful for your word, how it encourages us, how it spurs us on, how it shares with us what you're really doing in the world, and even gives us glimpses sometimes underneath some simple things that we look at and it's just missions, it's just taking an offering, it's just a missions conference. And Father, when we look under the hood, it's often much more. Lord, I pray for Indian River Baptist Church. Lord, would this church be a church that seriously looks for ways to koinonia in the gospel? Thank you for their faithfulness for supporting some of our missionaries here even 50 years. Lord, until you return, I pray that there would be a constant sweet-smelling savor wafting up from this congregation to you as they faithfully participate in Jesus' name. Amen.